Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, my friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Almost everyone who claims to believe in the God of the Bible, the one true and living God, would also state that they believe this God is sovereign. Yet most have varying degrees to which they believe that sovereignty extends in exercise. Most believe that he is surely in control of the major events which occur in the heavens and the earth, especially as it is related to what is often referred to as the forces of nature. The weakest among them will espouse his ability to send rain on the just and the unjust, to control the whirlwind, and cause the earth to continue on its constant path around the sun. Most will concede that he marks out the point and time of the death of men. Yet many of them will question whether or not the calamities, such as the Indonesian tsunami or the tragedy at the World Trade Center, were actually a result of his sovereign purpose manifested for men to see, or the result of some other force which from time to time slips some things by him who is seated in the heavens and causes him consternation in his quest to only do good things. One of the problems with such a view is that man's definition of good and that which the Lord sees as good are often at odds with one another. The most popular concept in the minds of many today is what I would call functional agnosticism. An agnostic is one who is not sure that there is a God, and even if there is, he's not involved in the activities of everyday life on the earth. The functional agnostic believes that there is indeed a God, but that he has essentially made the earth like a wind-up toy, which will go on in a general direction, and he will make course corrections from time to time based on the activities of evil forces and the prayers of men offered up according to their sovereign free will. Yet the scripture indicates that there are no competing forces of good and evil, but rather one God, who is, as David said, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Nebuchadnezzar said, "He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" Many well-meaning teachers try to make excuses for why evil exists in a world presided over by a holy God. Yet he makes no apologies to anyone, nor leaves any room for doubt as to why evil exists in the world, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The apologizers quickly tell us that the context of the verse simply means that he causes bad occurrences to take place from time to time and has nothing to do with evil insofar as the wicked activities of men and angels. Yet the Lord says that he declares the end from the beginning and ordains all things to occur in the earth. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. All actions by men, angels, and devils are ordained by the one true God to accomplish his purpose, and in no wise can be found working contrary to it. In the same fashion, the Lord brought Job to Satan's attention. The Lord used Satan as a tool to accomplish his purpose of bringing Job to a place of humility and blessing. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. It is important that the people of God be reminded of the absolute sovereignty of God, that they might in turn be reminded of the mercy of God in dealing with all of those whom he has hid in the bosom of Christ from before the foundation of the world. There is absolutely no place for men to glory in anything except his mercy, which is dispensed according to his sovereign will. When a man is given the privilege to behold the complete redemption which is wrought by the shedding of Christ's blood in the behalf of his elect, then and only then can he fully rejoice in a full and free salvation which depends in no fashion on the deeds, faith, or prayers of men. This redemption is not a remedy for an unforeseen problem, but rather that grand display for which the world was created. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. All hail King Jesus, mighty Redeemer, and Lord of Lords.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.